So I'm a newcomer to this community still. I am still very much in getting to know you mode. But one thing that was immediately clear to me from my very earliest conversations with you is that you are a people with an extraordinary sense, a spirit of service, and a spirit of generosity to our local community. Our worship theme this month invites us to ask, what does it mean to be a people of abundance? What does it mean for WU, for us, for this congregation, to be a people of abundance in this time and this place? And it is a no-brainer for me to answer that part of what that means is for you to keep doing exactly what you're doing. I see in you the most beautiful abundance of generosity, an impulse towards service in this community, and a compassionate awareness that some of us have it a lot easier than others, and we can help make it easier for everyone. Because you know that even here in the Williamsburg area, as Stacy and Helen reminded us, too many people are left out of the material abundance that many of us enjoy. Williamsburg has a reputation for being pretty affluent compared to our neighboring towns, right? Maybe even a little bit posh. But we know that right here, a lot of folks are struggling to make ends meet here, just like everywhere else. And it has been very moving to me as a newcomer to learn about how this congregation is responding to those needs in our community. You are generous financially with our Share the Plate program and with your contributions to the discretionary fund through which we are able to offer real and urgent help to folks right here in Williamsburg. Maybe someone who needs help paying for a week's temporary housing until their disability check comes. Because of you, we can do that. Or maybe someone who has been laid off unexpectedly needs some help paying their heating bill. Because of you, we can do that. The spirit of Baucis and Philemon, those generous, welcoming souls, that spirit is alive right here. And now, with our winter shelter coming up, it's such an enormous undertaking. I want to praise and affirm everyone who is playing a part in making that happen, starting with our co-shelter leads, Helen and Stacy, and our volunteer leads, and every single person who's going to be helping out in ways both small and large. We need it all to pull this thing off and make sure that WUU is here for people who need a safe and warm and respectful place to be for the night. So thank you all. Thank you for making this happen. Not to mention the amazing, beautiful building addition that you all have just completed. Over and over, I have heard you say that the reason we built it is not just to have a bigger building, but to be of service. To be able to welcome children more fully and generously, to be a resource to the community. And now with the family shelter in Parker House, with the Friends Meeting House in Foz House, we have scout troops, we have AA groups meeting in our building. Your vision of being of service is becoming a reality, and it's wonderful. So I can say with a grateful heart that you are a people of great abundance, and our community is richer because of all of you. But for this to be a proper sermon, there has to be a twist, right? And I find that I want to offer you a little bit of advice. As a newcomer, another thing I notice is that in the midst of this wonderful sense of abundance and generosity and outward-looking service, in the midst of all this, there is quite a bit of anxiety about how we are going to pay for it all. Am I right? A little bit, maybe? I've heard many of you express some anxiety about the congregation having taken on a mortgage to pay for the building project. Not that you think it's the wrong thing to do. I think the consensus is that this is absolutely the right thing to have done. It just feels like a weight. There's a sense of heavy new responsibilities that are going to ask a lot of the congregation. It feels like the budget is under pressure, and folks are just kind of worried about how it's all going to go. And so there is some anxiety about the abundance of financial resources to support the commitments that you have so boldly made. Does that feel at all familiar? Maybe. So I want to say that I really get it. This kind of anxiety is very normal. It's kind of like buying a house for the first time. If anybody has ever done that and maybe remembers how that feels, you might be so excited about the place, but it is such a huge financial investment. The payments are due and they don't stop, and it can be scary. So I just want to say that I think what you're feeling is very normal. And I also think that that anxiety about finances holds quite a lot of wisdom. It holds a lot of wisdom. And what I mean by that is I'm learning also that this is a congregation of very careful planners. You think it through. You really think it through before you commit. And this is such a tremendous strength. I am learning that it has led you to do great things with thoughtfulness, with care, with a sense of responsibility. The building project, my gosh, you people have managed the financial aspect of it so beautifully. You exceeded your capital campaign target by quite a bit, which is not usual. Well done. The pledge fulfillment rate for this capital campaign, which is to say the money that's come in versus what was pledged, has been extraordinarily high. I just want to say, way to go. You've done really well. You've done really well. And I do think that part of what has enabled that success, is precisely the spirit of caution and planning ahead. And so in a way, and I feel like I can say this because I'm the same way in my own life, your anxiety about what might happen has led you to make very careful and prudent and wise financial decisions. And so you have been able to do this building project. You've made this huge investment in a very smart way. I just wonder if the financial anxiety which served you so well in the planning process is serving you well now. Because what I see is a congregation who has done this careful, good planning. A congregation that has set itself up for the future as well as you possibly could. And so now, I'm going to invite you to sit back and trust that you have done all you can do for now. And whatever challenges the future brings, you will meet those new challenges with an abundance of creativity and resilience. And it will be okay, even though we don't know exactly what okay looks like. Really, what I want to say is, can you trust in the abundance of creativity and resourcefulness that is here? Can you trust in that abundance enough to relax and believe that things actually are going to work out? Now, when I say things are going to work out, I do not necessarily mean that every annual giving campaign from here until eternity will meet its goal. Some probably will, and some probably won't. And nor do I mean that we will never, ever again have an unexpected financial need, because we probably will. But the thing is, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we get there. And because we do not yet know what the future holds, our planning can only take us so far. We plan as much as we can, and then we trust that we will actually find a way in the moment. Imagine, if you will, that you are driving along. You're driving along on a road on a beautiful sunny day. It's a pleasant drive. You're cruising right along. But up ahead, all of a sudden, you see one of those orange and white barriers that tells you, uh-oh, the road has been blocked off. Maybe a tree's down. Whatever it is, you're not getting through. You cannot go the way you thought you were going to go. So what do you do? Do you drive up to the barrier and put your car in park and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait? No, I don't think you do. I think what you're going to do is back up and go another way. And it may not be the way that you thought that you were going to go. And maybe it's not quite as convenient. But still, I believe that you are going to find a way to get where you need to go. You just need to be a little flexible and a little creative and a little bit patient. So this is why I say I really do believe this congregation is going to be just fine, even though we don't know exactly what fine looks like quite yet. I do believe that it is truly okay for this congregation to relax and savor the good work of stewardship that has been done, and to trust in the abundance of your own creativity to adapt to whatever challenges you are going to face on the road ahead. That's why I thought it might be helpful to hear those words of Wendell Berry, and I'd like to invite you to hear them again. It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. The impeded stream is the one that sings. You know, there's a piece of the story of Baucis and Philemon that I've always felt like was kind of a little PS, just kind of tacked on at the end. I had always thought that the heart of the story was about their generosity in helping people in need, and I still think that. But I used to think the bit about their turning into trees at the end was just kind of like cute or something, just this little sweet random thing. But now I wonder if maybe I missed the point. These faithful, generous people find out that when they have given everything away that is theirs to give, even their very lives, they are transformed. Transformed into two beautiful trees, branches reaching up, roots reaching down, shading and sheltering by their very nature. And today I hear that as a promise for us all. Live generously, share our abundance, be faithful to the work that we have undertaken, and trust that we will have what is needed. Do our best and then let go. Trust in the transformations yet to come. May this be so. Amen.